Right now we're going to talk to Betty Hill. Back in 1961, I believe, she and her husband Barney were abducted, so they say, in a UFO and took them to the mothership. And there was a movie about this, and they say it was called The UFO Incident. I've seen this, and her husband Barney was played by James Earl Jones, I believe. Hey, good morning, Betty.
Yes.
Am I correct so far?
We were not taken to a mothership. We were taken to a circular craft, which was on the ground, and we never got off the ground.
What city did this happen in?
This happened in the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
Okay, now, did James Earl Jones play your husband?
Yes, he did.
And Estelle Parsons played you?
Yes.
Okay, I did see that then. And Barney is dead?
Yes.
When did he die?
30 years ago this month.
What did he die of?
Suddenly of a stroke. He was 46 years old.
Oh, that's not very old.
No.
So how did this happen? Were you just, you guys, in the movie, it showed you driving along, and all of a sudden you came up on this UFO.
Yeah, well, actually, we were coming home from Montreal, down through the mountains.
Right.
When this strange light began pacing us, and in an area called Indian Head, it came out over the highway and stopped in midair in front of us. Barney had been in World War II, so he was curious about what kind of craft this was.
Right.
So he took the binoculars, got out of the car, walked towards it, and he looked up and he saw a lighted window, a group of men standing behind the window looking down at him. Then the craft began to come down, and he had the feeling they were trying to capture him. So he ran back to the car, and we went speeding down the highway.
Were you scared at that point?
Nope.
Okay.
This is 61. We didn't know anything about UFOs. We were puzzled about what kind of craft this was.
Right.
And so about 30 miles south, all of a sudden, the men from the craft were standing in the middle of the road, blocking our way. So naturally, we had to stop the car. They came out. They took us through a pass in the woods to where the craft was on the ground. Took us into separate rooms.
Now, you keep saying these men. Were they human beings?
They're human. I would say they're human beings. But they're proportions, body proportions and facial features are different from ours.
So they took you to a separate room?
Yeah, and actually there were 11 of them. Individual differences in each one. No two looked alike. And for purposes of identification, one spoke English in a limited way, so we called him the leader. And he explained that they wanted to do some simple tests to find out how we were like them or different from them.
Did he speak English like we're talking right now?
He spoke English.
So you could hear him say the words?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the one who did the testing, we called the examiner. And there were nine others, and we called them the crew members. They stayed out in the corridor.
Now, weren't you scared at this point?
Absolute terror, naturally.
Did you scream or anything?
No.
Try to get away?
Oh, yeah.
Were you, like, paralyzed or anything?
Oh, no, I wasn't paralyzed. I was fighting.
Really?
I was hitting them.
Really?
In fact, I put out such a struggle, my new dress got torn.
When you hit them, what did their skin feel like?
Oh, I couldn't feel that skin. I mean, I had my fist doubled up. Yeah.
How did they react when you were, like, throwing punches at them?
They sort of acted like they were amused.
Really? In what way? Were they laughing at you?
He just said, you know, go on board. You have no choice.
Really?
And they sort of dragged me on board. But then I got over being afraid. Yeah. And I began to realize the importance of what was happening.
What kind of test did they run on you, Betty?
All right. The first part was very much like we do here. They checked our eyes, ears, nose, throat. Our feet.
Did they sedate you to do this at all?
Nope.
In any way?
Nope.
Okay.
And they took samples of our fingernails and our hair and a scraping of our skin. Now, both Bonnie's and my testing was similar at this point. But beyond that, they used some kind of equipment and said they were checking my nervous system. And then they tried to insert a needle-like instrument in my navel, which caused pain, so they stopped doing it.
Really?
Yeah. Then with Barney, they had him on his stomach, and they were very interested in his bone structure, his spine.
Really?
Yeah. And his
Was he panicking at this time?
They had him under some kind of control.
He just couldn't move?
He could move, but he just couldn't talk or he couldn't fight.
Was there any sound inside the UFO? Was there any music or other people talking?
No music, but the crew members were talking. They had a language of their own.
What'd that sound like to you?
I've never heard sounds like that before.
Like gibberish?
No, it was more almost like a humming, sing-song type.
Really?
I've heard languages like in the Middle East that have that monotonous humming.
Like a chant, sort of?
Yeah, and it was something like that.
Did they do anything sexually to you?
No.
Nothing?
No. But while Barney's testing was going on, now I've relaxed, and I realize the importance of what's happening.
What do you think was happening?
So I said to the leader, well, they wanted to do testing on us.
Okay.
So I said to the leader, I know you're not from this planet. Where are you from? He showed me a star map and explained this to me briefly. Now, later, I sketched the star map.
Uh-huh.
I saw it in 61. I sketched it, and then astronomers identified this pattern of stars in 1970. They had a difficulty at first because I had two stars on my map, which we had not discovered yet. We discovered them in 1970.
Really?
Wow.
And then also they have used my map to correct our thinking about the distances between the stars.
How far away do you think they were from?
Well, according to the astronomers, about 37 and a half light years.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And just recently, like in the last month, they've got fairly good proof of planets circling one of the stars that I have on the map.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
How long did this whole examination take place?
It was probably less than a half hour.
How did you know when it was over?
They came leading Barney out of the room he was in. And so I started to follow behind Barney.
So you just got up?
And the leader walked part of the way back to the car with me.
Really?
And when I'm leaving him, I said to him, this is the greatest experience of my life. I have been greatly honored to meet him.
Really?
And would he please come back? I have a lot of friends who'd love to meet him.
What did he say?
He said it wasn't his decision to make.
Really?
Yep. But now, to the actual time, when I came home, I talked to a police officer. He said, call Pease Air Force Base, which I did. And then later, the Air Force released the radar report of where they had tracked the UFO. And so I know from their report that the UFO left at 2:14 a.m. Not only that, they sent two military planes out to check it out, and the reports of the pilots are still classified.
Winters?
Have you had any contact with them since then, Betty?
Since then.
Not with the people. But when our experience became known, people called and reported sightings to us. And we found out that here, a few miles from my house, is an area where I would say 50% of the people of the town were involved in this. UFOs are coming in every night or almost every night. For 15 years, we set up volunteers, and we were out there. Somebody was out there every night for 15 years, no matter what the weather was.
Did they take any samples from you, like hair samples or anything, that kind of stuff?
Hair and skin. Hair and fingernails.
And fingernails.
And a scraping of my skin.
What was the lighting like inside the UFO?
A bright blue white light that was shining through the walls.
Through the walls?
Yeah, and through the ceiling.
Was it scary?
Nope. But very, very bright.
Now, Betty, you said that they took all these samples from you. Did you go to a doctor afterward and, like, have this verified? Did they have anything to say about that?
No, not about the testing itself. But, the needle and the navel.
Right.
They said it couldn't be done back in 61. But now we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors in Houston, Texas developed the method.
What's the last thing that the leader told you when he left you out on the road there? Do you remember?
He just said that it wasn't his decision to make about coming back.
And that was it.
But now we reported this to Pete now about a month after this experience, when nobody knew about it except Pease, we started getting calls from scientists. And we worked with the top scientists in this country from 1 month after this happened. And I still have contacts even today with different scientists, a former assistant secretary of defense. But we worked with the top scientists in the United States and Canada for years. We had continuing contacts with them.
Now, Betty, did they immediately put weight into your story, or did they think you were kind of crazy at first when you told them?
The scientists?
Like when you went to the police and they told you to call the Air Force, did they think you were crazy at first?
Oh, no, no. Because I found out afterwards, I didn't know this at the time, that in the 1950s, there were more UFO sightings reported from the state of New Hampshire than any place in the universe.
Hmm. When you were inside the UFO, did you see any of the other rooms beside the examination room?
No, just that one room.
They just led you to one room.
Right.
And while this was going on, what were the others doing? Were they watching? Were they just walking around? What was going on?
Well, the crew members were stayed out in the corridor.
Oh, that's okay. They never came in.
They're talking among themselves. They come over and look inside, look through the door once in a while.
And that didn't frighten you?
At first, I was terrified.
What did Barney say when they finally brought him back out?
He said, "I don't believe it."
Really?
He spent the first couple of years wanting to forget the whole thing ever happened. He didn't want to talk about it.
Jeez. What do you think we ought to think about all this, this many years later? That they're real? That it really happened to you?
Oh, I know it. Well,
I mean, you sound very sincere.
I mean, the star map, the needle in the navel, the radar report, lie detector testing under the supervision of F. Lee Bailey on a TV program right in front of the whole country. And I got the high marks.
Now, you're 79 years old, right?
Right.
You think you'll, in the rest of your life, ever see another UFO or have any more contact?
Look, UFOs are so common in New Hampshire that the people who live here, they don't even bother to look at them. But we get a lot of tourists.
Now, why do you think they chose you and Barney?
Oh, because we showed an interest in them. We have a lot of tourists here. So not too long ago, our local newspaper had an item on the front page which said, if you see a UFO, do not call 911.
Really?
It is not an emergency.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
How did this alter your life since 1961?
Basically, well, except for the publicity, things like that, it hasn't changed my life a bit. I still do all my own washing and ironing, cleaning, and I have pet chickens and pet cats.
All in all, Betty, though, do you think it was a good experience for you?
Oh, very positive.
So you're not afraid of it?
Oh, no. No. In fact, we've done a lot of research about UFOs that people don't even begin to imagine.
Did you watch the craft fly away?
Yep.
It just took off.
No. The last thing Lita did say is stay by your car and watch us leave. You'll be safe there. So we stood by the car.
Right.
And the craft became surrounded by this. It looked almost like fire, but it couldn't have been. But it was an orange flame type thing.
Uh-huh.
And it lifted out of that.
Any sound?
Nope.
No sound.
Lifted up. Then it took off.
Did they wave?
Nope.
They didn't high five or anything in the windows or anything like that?
Nope. But I was holding my dog. My dog was terrified.
Uh-huh.
And I'm holding the dog, and I'm saying to the dog, look at this. You're probably the only dog in the world who's seen this.
Did they do any tests on the dog?
Not that we know of. Hmm. We think the dog stayed in the car.
Oh, was there any smell inside the craft that you remember?
Yes.
What was it?
There was an odor. It was sort of obnoxious.
What did it smell like?
I couldn't identify it.
Would it be like a skunk, something rotten?
Yeah. And I think, I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
This is just a guess. That it was some kind of antiseptic. So that they wouldn't pick up our germs.
Really?
Yeah, but my dress that I was wearing became covered with a pink powder, which left pink stains. And different labs around the world have tried to analyze what caused the pink stains.
Where's that dress?
We still don't know.
Where's that dress now?
Oh, I have it.
You still have the dress?
Oh, sure.
Well, it's quite a story. And like I said, I've seen the movies, and that was. What'd you feel about the movie? Did you like that?
I think they did a good job, except they had troubles with the faces of the UFO people.
And one of them spoke English,
In a limited way.
Was it like broken English or just a few words?
It was like a foreign person trying to speak our language.
Did they know your names?
No.
They did not know your names?
No. Oh, they didn't at that time.
Wow.
Oh, I know that, well, when they were taking us into the craft,
mm-hmm.
and they have Barney under this control.
Right.
And I'm saying, Barney, wake up.
Were they touching you? Were they have like you're holding your arm or something?
When we were going into the craft, I had one on each side of me.
Right.
And I was walking. But with Barney, they were sort of holding him up and helping him along.
Right.
And when I said, Barney, wake up, the leader said to me, "Is his name Barney?" And I said, "It's none of your business."
Good time to get smart. Hey, well, listen, this is a very interesting tale, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
All right.
And maybe we'll touch base again, okay?
Okay.
Well, good luck with everything, Betty.
Thank you, and you have a good day.
All right, you too, Betty. Thanks.
There you go. There's Betty Hill. Her and old Barney went up in the old UFO.
What an interesting story. And you know, you don't really know whether
you
should
believe
it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You do really want to believe it.
The movie is called The UFO Incident. I saw it on TV, but I don't know if it's available.
I'll bet you can probably rent it at some of the bigger video stores.
I want to rent that again. And it was starring James Earl Jones and Estelle Parsons, who played Betty there.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, that's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Especially that deal with, like, the star maps and everything.
Yeah, for her to have drawn something like that, and then years later for them to actually find out that it was factual.
Right.
She didn't sound like she was making it all up, did
she?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to get mouthy when they're yanking me into the mothership.
Really?
Interesting.
Whew!